Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Let's just start with prayer. How about that? Father, we come before you just thankful. God, for the opportunity to worship you. No matter where we are, whether we are in a building somewhere or, Lord God, whether we are doing this digitally, we just thank you for the privilege it is to worship you. Father, we recognize and make ourselves very aware, Lord, that we do not need a lot of stuff, really. We're used to it, and we like it, but we don't need stuff to worship you. All we need is the right heart and the right posture. And so this morning, Lord God, we simply posture ourselves to worship you, to bless your name, to praise you. You are our champion. So, Father, we just invite you into this moment. Father, we ask you that your word would speak to us today. What do you want to say? What are you trying to communicate? What do our ears need to hear today, Lord God? We ask and pray that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Just continue to play Jonathan. Welcome to all of those at church online. Would you give it up for those that are tuned in online? Come on, in the building. That's you. I need you. Come on, welcome. It's good to see you. Really good to see all of you. Welcome to the first Sunday of 2021. How many of you are glad? How many of you are glad that 2020 is over? If you're at home or online somewhere watching and you are super, super glad, would you just type capital Y-E-S in the chat? Just say, yes, it's over. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't feel new to me. It's a new year. It's 2021. It's now January. Usually by this time, I am thinking about all my strategies for the new year. I'm thinking about all the words that I'm going to implement into my life. I'm making a list of the books that I want to read. I'm just thinking. I'm thinking about all that the new year is going to bring me. I'm not there yet. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm not there yet. In fact, I don't plan to get there yet. I'm not even trying to be there yet. Here's my plan, church. Usually try to save this for the end, Miguel. Here's my plan. I'm going to fast for 21 days. And rather than my attempt to reset, I'm just gonna give it to God. And I'm gonna say, you do it. You do it. I think 2020 was one of the worst years of my life. Truly. I hated it. All of it. And I try not to use the word hate, and my team will correct me for that, but I hated it. It was the most challenging year I've ever pastored a church. I was never sure, ever, is this a good decision? I hope so. Is this the right strategy? Who knows? Guess we'll find out as soon as possible. It was a rough year. But it is a new year. And it is day one. It's the first Sunday of the year. It's the first day of 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's the first day of a brand new series that we're going to get in today called Do This. But I'm telling you right now that I'm just postured as your pastor. I'm simply postured to say I've got 21 days to figure out what 2021 will look like. I do. And I'm going to let God speak into me. And I'm going to let him reset. And I'm going to embrace whatever it is that he puts in me, that he puts in us. I'm going to embrace it. Now, I am prepared in one way, because I am prepared for a new series that we are going to begin on January the 31st, and it's a series called A New Day. And I'm going to tell you more about that as weeks progress through January, but in our church, January 31st will begin a new day. It is a new day in our church. It's a new day in this place. It's a new day in what God wants to do in this building and in this people and in this church online atmosphere. It's a new day. God's going to do a new thing. Amen. Amen. He's going to do a new thing. And so if you're like me and you're like, I don't even know. I don't know. Like, I wasn't prepared for the new year. I wanted it, but it feels the same. Like, January 1st felt just like December 31st. I'm with you. Listen, I'm going to invite you. Join us for 21 days of prayer and fasting. Like, put away some things. Don't eat something. Take away a delicacy. Skip a meal. Skip all your meals. Skip sugar. Skip salt. Whatever it is. I'm asking you to find some time this year. In these 21 days, to separate yourself from the pleasure of feeding your body. I'm talking about actually and literally feeding your body, and replace that time with prayer and feed your spirit. You can do it. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But we are champions. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And my challenge is that you would join us in a season of prayer and fasting. If you've never done it before, I'm telling you right now, God will radically move in your life. I promise you. So it's my invitation to you. Join me in 21 days of prayer and fasting. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm about to start our new series, okay? If you're in the building and you have the elements for communion, I want you to go ahead and get that ready. If you're at home and you've prepared for communion, I want you to get that ready. Get those elements that you're going to receive. If you're at home and you're like, I didn't prepare, I had no idea, get anything. Get anything that can represent the body and the blood of Jesus. What I want to do is, here's how we're going to start the series. You ready? I'm going to take you to our first verse of the series. You're going to see this every week. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19 through 20, the Bible says that he, being Jesus, took bread. He took bread and he gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them, being the disciples. So Jesus is having his last meal before his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. And in this moment, he takes bread, he gives thanks, he breaks it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body broken for you. And then I just want you to join me. You can type this into the chat. You can say, do this. I want you to say it out loud. He says, this body is broken for you. Everybody say it with me. Do this. Come on, let's do it again. That was good practice. It's my fault. Rob will fix it. He says, everybody say it with me. What's he ask us to do? Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, this cup is the covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus invites us to do this act of remembrance. It's Jesus' way of saying, hey, I'm about to do something radical and remarkable. I want you to just think about it for a second. Let's put ourselves in the context of what's going on. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. This is the first time anybody's ever heard anything like this before. In fact, he's speaking in a way that disciples don't even fully understand what he's talking about. And what he says is, this bread and this cup is a representation of my sacrifice and my life for you. It's going to be broken and poured out. And I want you to do this act. So he breaks this bread and he's holding a piece of it and he's got this cup and he says, I want you to do this act in remembrance of me. And I think what Christ is saying is, please never forget. Please don't ever forget what I've given, what I've done. Please don't let this escape from you, because, you know, time goes by and things lose their significance sometimes just because of time. Like, in the moment, they were fantastic and memorable, but over time, sometimes it just can lose its impact or its power or whatever it is. And I think what Jesus is saying is, I want you to not forget. And so an act that I want you to take is to do this. I want you to take some bread, and I want you to take some juice or some wine, and I want you to break it, and I want you to give thanks, and I want you to receive it in remembrance of my sacrifice. Now, here we are on the other side of the cross. We look back, and we see the cross. And we see the tomb, and we see the stone rolled away, and we see the benefits of the cross, salvation, Christ is risen, and the Holy Spirit taking up his residency in our hearts. And it's easier for us to remember looking back, but he's coaching his disciples, don't forget. What I want you to do is this. Do this in remembrance of me. So, if you would, grab that Lunchable, as I like to call it. If you're at home, grab whatever elements you may have. I want this to become a part of your fast. We're going to start and end our fast just like this. We're going to start with communion. We're going to end with communion. I just feel the presence of God. Feels good. Feels real good. So in this moment, with your, whatever you're holding, that's going to represent the body of Jesus, I want you to have that out and have that cup. So if you're in the room, I want you to go ahead and have the wafer out and peel that other layer and get your juice ready. We're just going to go before the Lord with thanksgiving and prayer. We're going to receive these elements together. We, as a church, are going to do this. Father, we come before you this morning so thankful for your Son and his sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate life, the way that you gave it all for us. Your perfect sacrifice, sinless, on a cross to pay a debt we could never pay. All men die because all men sin. And so you, Jesus, decided, no, I will die so that you may live. And then you asked us, hey, don't forget. It wasn't an act of arrogance. It was an act of significance. This matters. This is important. Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Father, this morning as a church family, gathered all across the world, Father, we come together to do this. We take this body, we take this blood, and we receive it once again in remembrance of your sacrifice. Go ahead and let's partake together. Jesus, once again, we thank you for your sacrifice, for what you gave, for who we are because of you. We are sons and we are daughters of the Most High King. We've been adopted into your bloodline. We bear your name. We are yours. We are victorious and we have life. And at the start of this year and at the start of this series, our hearts are postured, Father, to do this. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Hey, thank you for receiving communion with me. I know that it's probably a little counterintuitive, perhaps, to what some of you are thinking. Like, hey, I thought we were supposed to be fasting, and you're asking me to eat bread and drink juice. Yes, I am. This is how I wanted to start. This is what I feel like God said for us to do. We are also going to end with communion at the end of this series on the 24th. And so I want to encourage you to be prepared again to receive those elements. But I want to talk about this because we looked at this verse that Jesus talked about where he's talking to his disciples and he's having this meal with them and he says, hey, I'm about to go do something that is meaningful and significant and I want you to remember what I'm about to do. And then he shows this act of brokenness and being poured out and they eat together and they commune together, the term communion, right? They have community. They are together in common. And he says, I want you to do this. But I actually want to slow down just a little bit. I want to look at this verse one more time because I have a theory that I'm beginning to buy into. I've been doing some reading. I've been doing some studying. And God has been doing some things inside of my own heart. And I want to take us deeper. One of my favorite preachers in all the world is Bishop T.D. Jakes. I don't care if you like him or not. I love the guy. And Bishop always says this. He always says, can I go deeper with this? can I go deeper? And I'm always like, who's going to say no? Like, please go deeper with this. And so I'm just posturing myself after a guy that I love to listen to. And I'm asking the church, can I go deeper with this? Can I please go deeper with this? Because I think there's more in the words of Christ Jesus than just him saying, hey, do this act. And I want to look at it. I want to look at it with you. I feel like I'm terribly in the dark. Do I look like I'm in the dark? Yes? All right, that's the media team telling me. Let me see what I can do without. Is this better? For real? They say come further. Come on, I'm going to do it. Come on, y'all. Come on. Something's going on with lights. It's weird today. Any better? Thumbs up. Come on. Now, amen. All right, you excited? Okay. I want to look at this verse again because, watch, he took bread, he gave thanks, and I want you to say some words. There's only six of them, and I want you to say them with me. The first thing that he did is he did what? He broke it. He broke it, and he gave it to them saying, this is my body broken for you. And then he says these words, say them with me, do this. Yep. In the same, it says, in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is, everybody say it with me, which is poured out for you. It's poured out for you. Now, if you're like me, I'm accustomed to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when I receive communion. This is where the Apostle Paul is actually quoting this. He actually says he received it from Jesus himself, and he's actually saying these very same words. And after both contexts, after the broken bread and after the poured out wine, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Now, many theologians believe, and I agree, that when Jesus was in this moment with his disciples, and he's saying, I'm about to do something that is significant. It matters. I'm about to be broken and poured out. And many theologians believe, and I also agree with them, that when he said, do this, he meant live this way. Live like me, to be broken and poured out. I'm actually calling you to live the way that I live in a certain context and in a certain way that isn't just an act of remembrance. I'm not saying just get some bread and some juice every once in a while. I'm actually calling you to a life of brokenness. I'm calling you to a life that is poured out. And it sounds really good in a communion atmosphere that, yes, Jesus, we remember, and that's good. But it's different when Jesus says, live this way, because that gets into my business. That gets into my comfort. That gets into my life. You can say amen if you're feeling good. I know it's early, and I know nobody had coffee this morning, but I'm going to preach today. And he says, I'm actually calling you to live a way that is broken and poured out because I want you to be like me. I'm asking you to be my disciples. In other words, follow me. Do what I do. Live like I live. And it's easy for me. It's easy for me to follow after comfort instead of to follow after my calling. That I'm called to walk like Jesus, but too often times I'm pursuing what makes me feel good. And I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't feel good to fast, ever. Amen. I know what you think. Like, oh, but you're the pastor, you know, and you got like Jesus on speed dial. And like, my body likes food, everybody. I finished with a steak and potato last night because it was my last supper. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was intentional. I don't prepare my body for fasting. I prepare my spirit for it. I just binge until the end. And I promise you, when this thing is over, I'm going to have some sugar. I'm going to have some caffeine. I'm going to eat something that has all kinds of meat in it because I don't like fasting. It hurts. It's broken for me to do it. But I do it willingly to train my body that my spirit is first. It's more important that my spirit is alive than my body feels good. And so my heart is that, Jesus, I'm doing my best to follow you. I'm doing my best to walk the way you walk, to live the way that you live. And so I choose to put myself in a posture of brokenness. And it's hard to do every single time. It never gets easier. It's always difficult. But I'm going to make a statement here I want you to see, and that is this, that remembrance is more than an act of communion. Remembrance is to be broken and poured out. So what I'm preaching right now, church, is not, I'm not trying to preach to you so you'll fast for 21 days. Listen, you can do whatever you want to do, and I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to love you the same way. None of us are going to think differently about you. You can show up here with you know, Rockstar and Snickers. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm not going to be the guy that's like, hey, you ought not do that, because that's between you and the Lord. What I'm not trying to do is convince you to fast for 21 days. What I'm trying to do is convince you to live a life that is broken and poured out from now on. So my heart this year is postured a little differently, because day 22 is just as important as day one. Like, from now on, what's going to happen post-fast? What's going to happen? And what I want to do, this is just personally, what I want to do is I want to reset some things to where my body remembers that it willfully gets put into a place of submission. The answer is no. I do not care if my head is aching. I do not care if I feel fatigued. I do not care if I function better with coffee. I don't care. Body, I am intentionally, purposefully breaking you right now, because my spirit needs to hear from the Spirit of God. My heart needs to rise up to another level. I need to connect in a way that I otherwise wouldn't connect. And I'm not saying that eating is bad, because you kind of have to. What I'm saying is that you can make it with some sacrifice. And if I'll train this way, then I might better live this way, that my call from God is to be broken and to be poured out. And it goes beyond simple things like fasting. To be broken sometimes is to actually serve somebody when you don't have anything else to give. But I'll be broken. I will pour my life out for you. And we saw Jesus do this time and time and time and time again. He would try to get off into the wilderness to seek God, and crowds would just show up. And what would he do? He would just pour it out. He would just live his life for others. The Bible tells us this is the command, that those who say they live in God should do what? They should live like Jesus did. Like we're called to. This is what we're called to be. This is how we are called to live. And the call that I'm placing on us, placing on me, and this is how I do it, by the way, I just preach to me and hope it helps you. That's what I do 52 times a year. You know what I'm saying? I just preach to me, and I'm saying, hey, Josh, hey, follow Jesus. Be broken. Be poured out. Think about this too, communion, to have communion with Christ, relationship with Christ. To know him, because there is going to come a day, the Bible says, that Jesus is actually going to look at some people and he's going to say some pretty disheartening words. And here's what he's going to say. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You didn't know me. And he's going to say this to people that did stuff for the church. And one day somebody is going to hear those words. And my prayer is that I pray it's not me. And I pray it's not my family. And I pray it's not my church. Because I want to be the kind of person that knows the Father. And here's what I've discovered just in life. I'm 37 years old. I've been through some stuff. I've experienced. Now, I don't have all the experience, but I've had the privilege to do a lot of things. I've been all over the world. I've been deployed with the military. I've been married for almost 19 years. I've got 3 children. One of them is grown and getting married. I mean, I got some life under my belt. I got some life. And I've learned some things in the journey. And here's what I've discovered in my journey of life, is that my best relationships are the relationships in which I've been through something with you. Like we went through something. So I think back to like something as silly. And whatever, I mean, it might be silly to you, it's not silly to me, but something as silly as like my high school football teammates. When I went through 2-a-days in the summer in Florida training with you, and we went through some junk, and we had to sleep in the gymnasium and all that kind of stuff and wake up. I'll never forget, one of my teammates is on the front row. I'll never forget football camp our freshman year. You remember how much it rained? I've never smelt a stink in my life like our locker room that year. It was awful. I remember actually in one section of the
practice field, we were in stretches, and we would do these things where we would chop our feet, and when the coach would blow the whistle, you would just hit the deck and then pop back up and chop your feet, right? You remember those? And I remember Brandon Galloway. You remember him? He was in a water puddle. I'm talking about, it looked like a pond. It was like a small lake, and he was in it. And I think coach was just having fun because we're chopping our feet, and BG, he's got puddles and splashes everywhere, and I think coach was just laughing because he'd hit the whistle, and he would just, and I'm talking about soaking wet. He, half his body is just in water. Pop back up. And we went through 2-a-days like that, and it was hot, and them pads get wet, and then the sun comes up, and you're trying to practice, and I'm telling you right now, you're about to fall out because it's humid already, but now you're doing this together. And when it came time for Friday night and the lights and everything that everybody else wanted, we had a different connection because we had been through something together. Not everybody got the glory of the lights because not everybody paid the price of the practice. We did. And we still say today, we're still teammates forever. We've been through something together. I think of my marriage of almost 19 years. In February, Lauren and I will have been together for 21 years. I've been with her longer than I was without her. And our marriage is awesome. And I love it. But I'm going to tell you something. We've been through some things. We've walked through some stuff. I almost did, but I won't. We've been through some stuff. We've been through some adversity and some difficulty, and we've been through some seasons of life. We've been through some financial strain. We've been through some times where we weren't seeing eye to eye, and we weren't always agreeing. And then we've had to kind of have meetings in the room about, hey, how are we parenting this situation? Because I think it should be this way. Well, I think it should be this way. And we've like walked through some stuff. We've been through some moments where we didn't know if we were going to make it financially, but we survived it, and it's a strong relationship. Why? Because I've been through something with you. I can talk about my experience with the Army and soldiers digging foxholes, being freezing cold, trading my M&Ms out of my MRE for your heater pack out of your MRE so that I could put it at my feet and pack dirt around it and keep my toes cold in the wintertime in my foxhole. Like, I could talk about that kind of stuff. And then if you ask me, who do you want to go to war with? I'm going to say those guys. Why? Because I've been through something with them. Let me tell you what it is. We've been broken together. And you all have those kinds of experiences, whether it was your place of employment or whether it was a tragic loss in your family, whether it was that one friend that was there in that moment. And that's why it's your best friend, because they're the only one that came, and they're the only one that didn't give up on you, and they're the only one that didn't turn their back on you. Why? Because you've been through some brokenness together. That's why. That's what fortifies deep relationships, is when you can survive some adversity. You can go through some difficulty. You can walk through a trial. You can look back at your experience. You can be in the worst season of your life and come out of it and look back together and say, remember when? You remember back then? Oh, when you're thankful for what you have today because of what you lacked in your yesterday, what I'm saying to you is the strongest relationships are the relationships that have walked through the fire. They've been broken. They've poured themselves out. They've gone the distance. They've given it all. And listen to me, when I stand, when you stand, when we stand before Jesus, my prayer is that he knows us. Because we were broken with him. And we were poured out with him. That we can look back and say, we did this. It was us. We chose. We decided we're going to do this. It's not just religion for me. It's not just the spiritual act. It's not just something I'll haphazardly do every so often. It's a lifestyle that I'm going to live. Every day of my life, I choose to do this. I choose to be broken. I choose to be poured out. I choose, Father, for you to have your way in my life, because this, I believe, is what helps us know the Father. It fortifies the relationship. It is communion. It is community. It is togetherness. It's something that welds and galvanizes us in a way. Why? Because we've been broken together. We've walked through some things together. Some of you have relationships like that in your very own church family. Psalms 57:17, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, oh God. It's our hearts that matter. It's not our acts. I could take communion every day and never live a life that's broken or poured out. Am I really close to the Father? Am I preaching to anybody today? It's a question that I'm asking. And what I believe that God is calling us, our church, to do, not in this season, from now on, do this. Let's do this. Let's go for it. Because it's a dangerous thing. It's a difficult thing. I think of my friend Miguel right here. I was a soldier. There's other people. And I think of when he put that badge on and he defended people. I think about that. And I think about the choice that he made. That, hey, I like protect and serve. And so when the badge goes on, I've made a decision to put myself, if need be, in harm's way. I've made a decision to pour out if that's what it costs me. I've made a decision to lay my life on the line for someone else. I've chosen this life. I've willfully put myself, I've postured myself to be this way. This is who I am. There's something that's special to that. This is why we see soldiers and EMTs and officers, whatever, as heroes, because they're the types of people, at least, that should lay their lives down for others. Come on, somebody. And when we have that act, that mentality, it's honorable, isn't it? Yeah. Well, as followers of Christ Jesus, I'm just saying, like, what if we just enlisted into the army of the Lord, just re-signed it today? Like, we just re-decided that, you know what, today's the day, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put my flesh on the side. I'm doing that. I will live broken and poured out, and I will do what God asks me to do, even if it hurts me, and even if it costs me, and even if it's difficulty. Why? Because it's who we are called to be. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close right here. I'm going to close right here. Prayerfully, in the name of Jesus. There it is. That's awesome. Luke 15, or 5:16 rather. I love this because the Bible says that Jesus, he often withdrew for prayer. Often. He withdrew. He got out of normal. He went into the wilderness. I'm not asking you to go out into the wilderness. What I'm encouraging us to do is, like, why don't we just withdraw from something normal, from something luxurious, from something beneficial to us, from a delicacy of ours, a luxury to us? What if we were like Jesus? We're called to live like he lived. And so what if we just decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. In this season, I'm going to withdraw. I'm gonna pull back. And I'm gonna get before the Lord, and I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna hear from heaven, God, what are you saying to me? It's a challenge. Will you do this? I've already decided. I'm gonna do this. My mind's made up. I'll do this. And here's what I have to do. I have to consistently do this. I have to remind myself to do this. I have to sometimes gear up to do this because my flesh always drifts toward its comfort, drifts toward its complacency. It always drifts away from the things of God. This is why I like that Jesus often withdrew. You know how many times as the pastor of Church on the Rock I've tried to talk myself out of 21 days of prayer and fasting? Yeah, like, I'm real. And I've thought to myself things like, maybe 7 days. 7 days is good. It's pretty sacrificial. Maybe I'll just make it a lot harder for 7 days on myself. Maybe that would be good. And then I've asked myself, I've got a couple minutes. I'm going to land this plane soon. But I've asked myself questions like, you know, why do we do this? Are we doing this because it's like really a good thing to do? Or are we doing this because bigger churches do it? And we're just trying to follow suit? Like, why do we really do this? Is this something that is actually beneficial to the church? Or is this something, come on, can I just be me for a second? Jeez, man, first. Is There's a saying in racing, it's wreckers or checkers, meaning I'm either going to win this thing or I'm going to crash. And that's about how I pastor, okay? We're either going to win or I'm going to wreck the whole thing. I mean, I've asked myself questions like, is this a growth barrier to our church? Do I ask too much of people? I'm just human. The truth is, I don't really care if it stunts our growth. I don't really care if it's asking a lot. I don't care. I don't really care if I seem crazy to you. I just want to live like Jesus. And dang it, there are times that I just have to make my mind up to do it. It's just my mind has to get made up that no, I will do this. I'm doing this. I'm not letting comfort. I'm not letting my mind talk me out of deeper moments with the Father. I'm not going to let the notoriety or whatever. I don't care. I'm called by God to follow Jesus. I'm called by God to lead this church. I'm called by God to be broken. I'm called by God to be poured out. I am called by God to withdraw often for prayer. I am called by God to give. I am called by God to serve. I am called by God to fast. I am called by God to pray. I am called by God to live like Jesus lived. I'm called by God to give everything the way Jesus gave everything. This is what I'm called to. And it's not comfortable. And it isn't easy. And sometimes it hurts, but I've made up my mind. I will do this. I will follow you. I will follow you, Jesus. I'll follow you if it makes me look like an idiot. I will follow you if it costs me everything. I'm not in this so people will like me. I'm in this so that you will be satisfied. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a personal challenge. It's between you and God. Will you do this? Will you? Listen, I'm not talking about fasting. I think it's a part of it. I'm talking about a lifestyle. Will you do this? Will you make up your mind to remember Jesus by being broken and poured out? That's the question. It's the question in this series. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to get deeper. I'm going to continue to go deeper. I'm going to look at people, stories, and examples in the Bible of people that were broken and poured out, and the impact that that had on us, and the impact that we can have on others should we choose to do this. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. This is the moment of the service in which I want to invite some people to decide. And I'm going to make this a little bigger because so
Sorry. I got all this, yeah, stuff that happens when you cry going on up here. I'm going to make this a little bigger, though, because I'm going to challenge some people. Maybe, you know, maybe you're just in a place where you just need to make your mind up today and say, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And it's very simple. Listen, here's what I want to ask you to do. Just make up your mind. Just choose right now. Just decide. Like, don't try to fast. Just do it. Just decide some things that are going to be painful for you to let go for 21 days and do it. Just do it. Just make up your mind and say, I'm going to do this. Get before the Father and get your heart in a place to receive. Father, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to do in me? What do you want to change in me? I'm here to do this. It's my challenge to us all. Because it's easy to be fired up about fasting on the first day because we ate last night. It's different on about day 12. That's when you're going to have to really settle in and say, no, I've made up my mind. I will do this. Now, there may be others of you who have been a part of today's service, and maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You've never given your life to him, but today the Spirit is moving in your heart. You feel this draw, this you're compelled to just get closer to God. I'm telling you, that's just the Holy Spirit of God drawing you to the heart of the Father. I just want to invite you today to do this. Make the decision to follow Jesus. It's very simple. The Bible says if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And I just want to give you the opportunity to do that. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, somebody looking around, I'm going to lead you in a prayer if that's you, and I want you to say this prayer after me. Now, if you're in the building like we always do, I want you to say it out loud with me. I would love that. If you're at home, I would love for you also just to say it at your comfort, okay? I don't know what the atmosphere is like that you're in, but I just want you to be comfortable, but I would love for you to say this prayer, especially if today's the day that you're following Jesus for the first time, you've made up your mind, you're saying, I'm here to do this. I want you to say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, hey, congratulations if that was you in the house. Come on, let's give it up for those that made the decision as we go into news.